Congratulations, Johnny. I never thought I'd see this little motel recognized for anything besides the occasional cockroach. Made myself laugh there.
Hello, Schitt's Creek fans. Welcome to another episode of Schitt's and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we watch a different episode of the series and we're going through the entire series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. It's my favorite season. Awards!
You are right.
Yes. And
I looked it up. There are many hospitality awards given, award shows, not shows. I don't think they're televised.
Wow.
But
that would be interesting.
Because they refer to it as regional. There are a bunch. There are regional, there are national, there are international.
Wow.
Because the idea of it seems strange to me, but...
Are they called the hospies?
No.
They should be.
I mean, first of all, maybe. Maybe there is one, but I couldn't imagine they would be able to do this without being sued by the hospies. But first of all, we want to encourage our listeners to give us a 5-star review and... five-star rating and review wherever you get your podcast. And we also have
just a five-star motel review.
Yes. Send us an award in 3 weeks. Something like that.
6 to 8.
So, my God.
We'll pay for it.
Yeah, we'll pay you. We'll pay
along with the bill.
You will pay the shipping and just, leave the receipt in with the award and we will send you the money back.
Right.
As long as you have Venmo or something. But we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/shitsandgiggles, where you can support us for the low, low price of $1 a month. $1 a month.
Even that's too much.
It is. It is.
Perhaps you should make it 50 cents.
And I do want to thank our patron, Sheena. Sheena may or may not be the person who sent us snacks or the person responsible for having snacks sent to us.
Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah.
Our youngest daughter told us this morning, can you record some more so that maybe we can get some more snacks?
I like that we don't buy food for our children. We... really rely on listeners to send us food.
It was very cute. The kids are just excited when packages of any type arrive.
Sure.
Like, it can be a boring Amazon package, and they're always curious what's in it. So, yeah, the snacks were a big hit with them, but it was very cute, and that was our 7-year-old.
You could order a giant air fryer, and a tiny shower head shows up
instead,
and they're still excited.
That's happened this week.
Anyway, thank you, Sheena, and we appreciate anyone who takes the time and opens their wallet to donate to this show just to keep all past episodes up. Speaking of which, if you're listening to this in real time...
We have to send our apologies?
I think that would be nice.
I know. I'm saying we have to send our apologies.
Yes. We basically missed a week, which means that... the way we do this, it's been 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm sure everybody is just at home crying into their whatever platform, wherever they listen to their podcast.
Crying all over their phones?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
I guess, yeah.
Sobbing in their cars waiting for the hospice episode.
Yeah.
But it is finally here. I mean, this doesn't affect people listening in the future. They have no idea that we waited this long. But thank you, everybody, for sticking with it and for reaching out. I got at least...
Reaching out saying, oh, thank God.
No, thank God you guys finally quit.
Yeah.
No, I got multiple messages that were like, hey, is there a new episode? Or did I miss it or something? That's a really nice way to put, are you guys super lazy? Like, did I just not see it?
Right. Yeah, no. There's nothing wrong with any of you. It's just all us.
It's us.
No, it was just a busy weekend. And you know us. We fly by the seat of our pants.
Mm-hmm.
We are last minute Larrys, which is one of my favorite expressions.
Yeah.
And
if we have something to do on Saturday, it really messes with the entire
It really does, because everything kind of happens.
Right.
The day of
right
release.
And we're so uninteresting or unpopular, we decided to record this on a Saturday.
Right.
Days where most people have things to do.
Except for us.
Yeah, so maybe right. that was a mistake. But thank you so much. So you will get two episodes sort of back to back.
As long as we can hold it together long enough to record two.
We are recording in advance from now on. We have to.
Yeah.
Although it was fun to do like the day off. Anyway, we might get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you can always wonder whether an episode is coming out or not.
Right.
But we are not here to talk about our Amazon deliveries or lack of snacks for our children. We're here to discuss the 8th episode of season 5, The Hospies. The original air date was February 26th. Is he snoring? Our dog's in here with us, which is brand new.
Well, nobody else is home right now. So he kind of felt a little bit lost. Normally there's children in the house that, you know, he feels their presence, even though he doesn't hang out with them.
No.
But yeah, he was really kind of weirded out that nobody else was around. So he's in our closet with us today. And he may be snoring. So if you hear him, just know that it's not us snoring at our own conversation.
Right. No, this...
it's just our pet.
If our conversation puts you to sleep... Well, you're in the same camp as our dog.
Right.
So the original air date was February 26th of 2019, directed by Jordan Koenig and Rupinder Gill, a team that we have seen twice before this season. So let's get into the episode.
Yes.
So we start in the motel. There's a lot of motel. I mean, we're... Well,
it's a very motel-centric episode.
Yeah.
With the hospice.
Well, the more I say this. Oh, you mean revolving around the idea
and,
of the motel.
And Jocelyn in the motel is not always a, you know, it's certainly happened before. It's not like we've never seen that, but
no.
It's not as common.
No, which brings up a question. Where's Roland Jr.?
I don't know. They have a nanny.
You think there's, okay. The fancy mayor of the town was able to bring in a nanny?
Well, I mean... No. You never see the two of them in the same place at the same time in this episode. So I would just assume that
I guess you're
when you
right.
see her there, he's they just with Roland. And when you see Roland, he's with Jocelyn.
They just both seem very busy.
Oh, and, 100%.
And sometimes it really is like, oh, what are we going to do with Roland Jr.? Like we've seen that in episodes leading up to this.
Yeah.
But this, it's like, I don't know, Roland, you're now in charge of this motel for, I guess, the entire weekend.
He's the forgotten child, Roland Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Mutt's taking
Maybe
care of him.
Maybe he's at the Doodle Bops.
Do you mean the Doodle Bops volunteered to take their child
Maybe,
for
or,
a time? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you're right. Jocelyn is in the parents' room because there's like a pin board or a cork board or something like that.
Yeah.
We saw it last episode.
Did we? I don't know that we did. I feel like that was because last episode ran into this episode, so we saw it mistakenly.
Okay. All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. But they still, the big thing is they still have not found their lead for Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, meaning the director and the assistant director, are very concerned about this.
Well, yeah. The lead is a big important part. You need somebody
you would assume
to carry off this role
of Sally.
Yes,
we have still not watched Cabaret.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. We're promising you we will.
Yeah.
So this is happening and they're having a discussion. Moira and Jocelyn are having this discussion, but also in the background it appears Johnny is getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is Jocelyn that's like, hey, Regional Hospitality Awards, big deal.
Big deal, yeah. The only thing this motel's ever been recognized for before is cockroaches.
Yep.
Which she then laughs at her own joke, but no one else really does.
No. I assume they're still having some cockroach problems from time to time. It's also brought up, I like how Moira brings up, they might have to look into BroadwayWorld.com to find a lead, which I think is really fun how anybody's flying in or something for this.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she also talks about, like, are they holding it in the school gymnasium and stuff like that.
Well, to which Jocelyn kind of, like, smiles and laughs, but kind of does a sideways glance as Is this held in the high school gymnasium?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think to the end. Like, I know that all their, and not to get ahead of where we are in the season, but I know a lot of their rehearsals are in the, I'm going to call it community center.
The town hall.
Yeah, town hall.
Community center. I don't know. Never quite get the name of that correct.
No, because it's
there's
just
a sign outside that says town hall every time they show it.
I guess I'm not paying attention. All right. But all of this is thrown into chaos.
Of course.
Because Alexis comes in. She's overhearing this entire conversation.
Her live workspace, you know.
It's, well,
she gives that reminder. Right. They're clearly too loud. But it's a good thing she's overhearing because she's making herself available to step in as the lead.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, she had some intense, you know, background history, I guess, to prepare her for this very moment.
So is this the first we are hearing in this series of this reality show?
I think so.
Okay. She was in
I could be wrong, though.
Later, she refers to it as a limited reality series.
Right.
Meaning, I guess it wasn't picked up.
But yeah, she had a lot. Like, she had Barbra Streisand's vocal coach when she was trying to be like... Well, they also made mention of her trying to be like Jessica Simpson.
Right, yes.
You know, so I guess she was starting out trying to really, you know, kick off her singing career, but ended up in a reality TV instead.
Well, there's so many of these shows, and maybe they're not around anymore, or maybe it's because we don't have cable anymore that I don't hear of these. But I remember on... E or A&E or these stations, like sometimes there'd be a new reality show of, you know, I don't know, wealthy heiresses and stuff that I had honestly never heard of before. Yeah. And I don't like...
Well, they were like Kardashian-esque, I would
say. Yes. And
I don't... just very wealthy families and it focused on their children.
And I hate to be one of those people that's like, well, the Kardashians are only... famous for being famous or whatever. Like, they've turned that into some sort of empire, but sometimes it's just like, I don't know who these people are.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or I guess their parents are on, you know, I almost called it Desperate Housewives of Hollywood. Or what are those shows?
Real Housewives?
Real Housewives.
Desperate Housewives. Although maybe they're desperate, but yeah, like the Real Housewives shows.
Yeah. So I guess in this whole time period, someone decided to give Alexis her own show.
Yeah. And I like how she said after what? It was one or two episodes in when they hired an acting coach for her reality show?
Right. No, it's even more, I don't know if vague or specific is the right word, but she says that they insisted she takes acting lessons after they started filming.
Right.
So I'm assuming it was the end of that first day where they're like, you got to do something
right.
about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no. But again, it's supposed to be a reality show, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Right, yeah. And
yeah.
But
but she released an album and everything.
She released an album and...
Johnny makes reference to one of her most popular songs.
Well, I don't know if it's most popular, but he enjoyed Hampton's Hoes.
Right.
He thought he found it very catchy.
Yeah.
And I like how he says it with no irony or anything. Mm. Like, he is genuinely like, I really enjoyed that Hampton's Hoes song. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And this is fun because the whole thing about her part of this episode is Jocelyn is desperate to have someone play this lead. Mm-hmm. And she thinks Alexis could probably do this.
Well, based on the fact that Moira is a performer and, and a singer and an actress.
Yes.
And everything else, she assumes that if Alexis was participating in singing and acting opportunities in the past, that she would probably be a perfect fit
for
what they
need. She had Barbra Streisand's vocal coach.
Right.
But from the jump, Moira is trying to shut this
down. Oh, totally.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah, she makes reference to, like, nepotism, if Alexis would get the part
exactly.
and everything. So, yeah.
So, that's how this episode begins. Mm-hmm. We get our little title card, and then we go... We just travel a few doors down to the motel lobby/office, where Stevie is looking nice in her dress.
But she says, no, I don't. When Johnny compliments her that she looks really nice. She said she pulled it out of the laundry.
Right. As though she just wore it yesterday and had to wash it for the
occasion.
Yeah,
but it's definitely not. We don't see Stevie dressed up very often.
Have we ever seen
Stevie
dressed up?
Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't. I don't know.
I was trying to think back to when, like, her great aunt died or, you know.
Right.
Like,
or, I mean, who's getting dressed up for a truck party.
Right.
But,
yeah, no, I think oftentimes you know, we kind of see her
stuff
in
like
her...
that. I think maybe for the barn party or barn parties. I don't know how many times we did that.
Still
showed up. Okay.
I think so. Was relatively casual.
So that's why it's very obvious to Johnny that she, you know, looks drastically different. And
yeah,
he compliments
like a
her,
nice
as we said.
Flowery dress.
And... I like how he mentions that she has a bag. Mm-hmm. Oh, you packed a bag.
He had talked about bringing a different suit for all the after parties. Yeah, second suit.
But who is he, George Clooney?
Yeah. Yeah, but she kind of explains, like, she's planning to stay away for the weekend. She took Monday off. Amir is presenting an award, so
she's... Is this the second episode in a row where a reference to George Clooney is made? Doesn't Roland, when he's in Rose Apothecary and he's talking to David... Doesn't he say something like...
Yeah, I think he might actually.
Who am I, George Clooney? And David says, no, you're not.
Yeah.
So two in a row. They're really on this Clooney train right now.
Yes.
Yes. So she has this bag, but it's a... I like how she looks like, Mr. Rose, that's a weekend bag. I wouldn't be able to understand what is a bag for a quick change of clothes and a weekend bag.
I guess a quick change of clothes bag would be smaller. A weekend bag, clearly you're bringing... Right. Multiple outfits, other items that you need for a long weekend.
So a weekend bag has a zipper, and a change of clothes bag might just be a plastic garbage bag with some clothes in it.
Maybe if you're traveling, but most people know. Right. But okay.
Would that count as a carry-on for a plane?
I don't know. Okay. Not sure. But yeah, but they're there, and Roland anyway shows up. He's all dressed up,
too. Yes.
For a second, you might think he's going, but no, he's not.
Well, Johnny
he's
seems
just,
very scared that he's going to be accompanying them to this.
He's just looking after the motel for them while they leave.
So he kind of dresses up like
he
Johnny.
He dresses up for the occasion, but then they kind of comment, and they're like, you are here every day.
Right.
And you never are dressed
up. Yeah, you look
up.
Like a slob every single day. Yeah. But I do like how he almost puts on like a Johnny Rose Halloween costume to do his job.
Yeah, he has like a little jacket and like a button-down shirt and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like his joke where he says, look at us. Are we Brad Pitt and his handsome brother and Johnny?
And Johnny. Yeah. Yeah, because they take pictures. And then I love how Stevie's like, no, get Mr. Rose in the picture. Because he's, of course, taking it as a selfie.
Oh, Stevie also, at this moment, I thought it was fun when Stevie insults Roland. And then he refers to her as Rita Rudner.
Yeah. Do you remember when we went to Las Vegas?
I was going to ask you this same question.
Yes, we went to Las Vegas. It was in, what, 04?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
And where we stayed, Rita Rudner was like the headline act in our hotel.
Yeah, but...
She was like in residence.
Yes.
At the hotel.
And I didn't know this.
Like how they do, like sometimes celebrities will do that, you know, but big celebrities, I want to say, like... What's she known for?
I don't know. A 2004
Rita
Rudner.
Is she like
Rudner.
A comedian?
Yeah, she's a comedian.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I guess she was doing
some
stand-up.
What was interesting is, I don't know if she was in residence? Is that what you're...
That's kind of what I assumed. She was everywhere.
No,
do
she
you
was
remember
a...
that?
No, no,
it
no.
was like there was signs and her name and her picture was everywhere in that hotel.
I think I'm remembering this a little differently than you.
Oh, okay.
Because what I remember is that she just did the... video for the hotel.
Oh, like on the
like
TV in the room.
When you would turn it on, it would just be Rita Rudner being like, and here's our casinos. And is that a buffet I see?
Yeah. I still feel like I remember seeing her name and her face.
Which
like,
makes me wonder,
all over.
I couldn't imagine Celine Dion doing the video for the motel.
No,
or
I don't
motel.
Know that Rita Rudner's as big a name
no, no,
as
I know.
Celine Dion.
I know, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, no, right away when he said that, I'm like, okay, that's a weird name drop a little bit, but
I get she and Lily Tomlin confused sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I could kind of see a little bit of a connection between them, but yeah, I remembered that fondly. I was like, oh, yeah, Rita Rudner.
All right, so let's leave the motel because we have characters moving all around.
Yes.
In this episode.
I loved this next scene. I loved the way it was shot. I loved that they were outside.
100%.
Walking from the cafe back to Rose Apothecary.
We very rarely...
I love when there's like a fun outdoor scene shot like this.
But what I loved about this is the you get a real sense of geography. We've seen things like this before, but we've never, I don't think, I could be wrong, have seen just where the cafe is, you know, in relation to Rose Apothecary, because they're both in the same shot, and we really just track as Patrick and David walk from one to the other.
Yeah, but it is fun. Every once in a while, they have like a... There was another time, I think, what they were outside the cafe, and you could see like the tables and people eating. And I love when they have those kind of shots, just because it's just something fun and different, and they're not just in a... No, you know, in a building. Like,
I really
love
this. And I know a lot of times we don't talk unless there is visually different, you know, camera angles and things like that. But I always think about, like, how much of the series or how much of the season do they have written when they go to this town for these exterior shots? Like, do they say, okay, well, this is for this episode, and then tomorrow we have to do a change of clothes because two episodes later, you're sitting outside the cafe, stuff like that. Like, I think it's super fun to see something like this, and it just adds, I don't know, a different visual element.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just in these small interior sets the entirety.
Yeah.
So,
did we even say who was walking? Did we mention
I said
that?
Who was walking.
You
but
did, right?
We didn't talk about what they're talking about or anything.
Yeah.
Like
and David also has his nonchalant. Nonchalant shirt on, which is fun.
And Patrick's wearing his, I don't know,
blue like
V-neck sweater.
He's in his Patrick outfit.
Yeah.
Patrick uniform. Mm-hmm. Always blue. But
I think another title for this episode based on Patrick and Amir could just be Jerks Being Jerks.
I figured that was definitely going to come up. And I mean... We know we're not always our feelings for Patrick run hot and cold.
Yeah.
Probably more what's the least desirable? Cold, I guess.
I don't even know.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
Maybe I shouldn't have used that expression. But I feel like it was kind of nice to see somebody kind of put him in his place a little bit.
Right.
You know, I know it was also like a funny, you know, funny moment to show him, like, try to exert a little bit of a little bit of power and, like, put his foot down and his little foot, as David called it. But, it was sort of nice to kind of see somebody else, like, knock him down a couple pegs.
No, and I feel like this is very intentional. And I feel like it is because he always has the upper hand and always seems to be right.
Yeah.
I know that there was the, you know, there was the episode where his estranged...
Fiance
showed
the picnic,
up and stuff like that. But that's not the same as this episode.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like it is a response to the way that he's been written, just to sort of take him down a notch. And also to show that, I don't want to say like, finally, David's the correct one in this relationship or the one who's able to deal with people better. But I do like the fact that David's like, let this happen. Yeah. She'll do her thing.
Right.
We have to trust this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's the
It was kind of nice, a nice little shift of.
Yes.
I don't want to say shift of power because it's not like David really had any, you know, I wouldn't say he had power. But
and I think
I just liked the shift of seeing Patrick in a little bit more of a different, like, uncertain kind of, like. You know, he always seems much more confident and everything. And it was sort of nice to watch him.
And I enjoyed him more in this episode, too. And
he seemed more, like, I don't want to say real, but, like, he just...
You see that he has flaws.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's important.
That's a good way to put it,
Is we've seen flaws in all of the characters up to this point.
Yeah.
And right now, his biggest flaw was... I may have had a fiance. Like, so I think it's really nice to see more of his character and his character flaws come out.
Yeah.
So I did think he was, I almost said more tolerable. That's the worst
compliment. Yeah, because I think he's,
But I enjoyed him in this episode.
Yeah,
so.
You liked seeing, the reality of him.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway,
Right,
ahead.
We really
they're
talked
big...
about the end. We really talked
right,
about
we talked
all of
around
our feelings,
the whole conversation.
But
yeah.
The main thing is that they are having their bathroom renovated.
Yes. In the in Rose Apothecary, and they kind of made reference to almost to like make it available so that the public can use the bathroom if they need to, because they said they were losing like customers to the cafe,
which makes no sense. They do very different businesses. Yeah. It's, they're not selling.
Well,
food.
I guess
the
not
cafe
as many
is not
people.
Selling moisturizer.
Right? Yeah, that was maybe we're misunderstanding whatever the reference is with that, which is entirely possible because you know people tend to look at things differently than we do.
And I've gone in stores before to just use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm not like shopping then afterwards.
I did that once. I went in to use a bathroom and then I just felt really bad and guilty and I ended up buying something because I was like, I should look around in here.
Okay.
And I did.
Maybe that's what they're counting on.
But I mean, and I'm sure, you know, like if somebody is in the store and needs a restroom and they say, oh no, I'm sorry, we don't have one for the public, then they are probably going to leave the store and go to the cafe.
You're
so
right.
Then they're not purchasing.
That
so,
is kind of nice to have that option.
Oh, definitely.
Plenty of stores that are like, no, sorry, we don't have that for customers. Or I remember having to go in the back employee area of a Five Below with
because
our
one of our children.
Kids.
I remember you talking about
so
that as
strange.
Well. Yeah.
Like, we basically went through almost a bank vault door to get to a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's, you know, just one more thing. And plus, really, another thing they talked about is they are having all kinds of like workshops and special events and things like that. So obviously, and he said about like serving more alcohol on some of their special evenings.
Yes.
So obviously people are needing
a
restroom,
no,
you know, as
sense.
Well. So I think that was another, he talked about a calligraphy workshop that was coming up and stuff like that.
I think it's funny because I think he's trying to impress Ronnie with, not impress her, but just impress upon her how important it is for this to be done because he says David's organized a writer's retreat and even David's like it's a calligraphy camp.
Yeah, a calligraphy workshop, he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so Ronnie is doing this bathroom work for them and you know things are moving along but certainly not as quickly as Patrick had hoped because it's supposed to be done. But as they walk in, everything in the entire store is covered with like clear tarps and there's tape everywhere and and she comes out and she kind of says, you know, I'm out of tile or you're out of tile, basically not I'm, you're out of tile. Apparently David selected something very expensive and hard to get.
Right.
So she said, I guess she said maybe it could take up to like 2 days to be able to get what they needed or she might need an extra couple of days to be able to finish.
Yeah. Nothing overly terrible.
No.
I mean, I understand that they're put out by this, but she is just working in the bathroom. Everything is covered in plastic, which I understand.
When you do tiling and stuff,
no,
I guess it can,
I understand
it's messy,
to a degree, but it feels like you should just be able to, if she can't get this done in a few days, you should be able to just remove all that plastic for a few days and then put it back up. I know that's a pain.
Right.
But anyway, we'll get into what happens
but,
here.
Yeah, but, you know, Patrick is certainly not happy about this.
No,
he's like, you know, she's going to think we're a bunch of pushovers. Like, we need to, you know, make something happen here. Like, this isn't okay. It's supposed to be done today. And I expect it done today and everything.
And this episode's so much fun, too, just because of the amount of just Patrick on camera talking and being upset. And David's just always standing next to him.
Right.
Just
like, kind of like smiling.
Yes.
Like,
because most of the time, David is the focal point of any scene that David's in.
Right.
So I always
he takes
like
a little bit of a
back
seat here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, while Patrick makes his plan on how to exert his power to get this bathroom done, we skip over back to the town hall to some auditions for the lead. Darlene's cousin / grocery store clerk.
No, wait. This is Darlene. Darlene's cousin is the lady that yells at David in line for Rose Apothecary.
I thought it was the same person.
I'm Darlene's cousin.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Darlene is the cashier.
Well, right. I know that, but I thought...
Oh, wait. I think this is Darlene. This isn't Darlene's cousin.
Okay. All right. I was thinking,
No, I think it's Darlene.
Oh, gosh. We're confused.
No, that's okay. No,
I'm confused anyway.
I think it's Darlene, definitely.
Okay. All right. But anyway, she is auditioning.
She's very shy and she's very soft-spoken.
Right.
Where Darlene's cousin would be like yelling and
I
screaming
guess. Okay.
at them.
All right.
Like, that's the way we're going to tell them apart.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But she's auditioning very poorly.
Yeah.
She does say she's okay with nudity.
Yeah. To which Jocelyn's like, no, we don't need any of that. Not necessary. Right. Yeah.
And Jocelyn, after Darlene leaves, is really pushing for Alexis.
Right. Yeah. And Moyer's kind of saying, no, she doesn't have enough life experience. But then, you know, Jocelyn brings up all of her experiences. And Moyer's like, well, she's had a lot of adventures. But it's a different situation.
This is my problem with what Moira's doing. The way she handled it in the motel is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And the way that she handles it later when Alexis comes in for her audition is appropriate. Mm-hmm. Because Alexis is in the room. Right now, she should be like, she's a horrible singer. She's terrible. You know what? Guess what? Let's get online and let's listen to her theme song. And that way you could see and hear how terrible it is. Yeah. But she doesn't. She's still playing it off as like, well, she's not, you know, she probably wouldn't be a good fit or something. It's it's not flat out she's bad at this.
Uh-huh.
Because the more she makes these weird excuses, the more
Jocelyn wants to give her a chance, I think. Right. She's like, no, got to be good. Yes. She really feels a lot of, with all of Alexis's confidence and everything else.
Do you think that she's even thinking, like, Moira doesn't want her own daughter to upstage
Maybe.
Her?
Yeah. Okay. That could be. You know, I could see that.
Yeah. But there is no resolution at this point.
No.
I don't know if the resolution is Jocelyn decides she's definitely going to bring her in. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But let's go to the hospice.
Yes.
At a pretty fancy hotel.
Yeah. Elm, what was it? Elm Glen?
I think it is
Elm Glen. Convention Hall? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So Johnny is so jazzed. He is so excited for this.
He's super cute.
It's very adorable.
Like, he is just so excited. He's talking about, like, the awards, and they're up fifth. Yep. And, you know, like,
I love it when he's like, Stevie, if we win, are you going to want to say anything?
Right. Are you going to want to talk? It's all you, Mr. Rose. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're sitting at a table and everything, like, you know, all ready to roll. And Amir shows up, and he and Stevie have some, like, flirty banter back and forth. Like, pretending, like, you know, like, is this seat taken? Oh, you know,
my boyfriend.
Right, yeah,
I've
basically.
Heard that you'll take what you can get. Right.
Right.
It's funny stuff. It's the way that they've been interacting since they originally
met.
Cute,
like, flirty, you know,
definitely.
Fun.
Yes. But they go off to the, quote-unquote, bar to get drinks.
Right.
To which Johnny's like, but somebody's coming around
with drinks. And they're like, no, we'll just go to the bar. Yeah.
But Johnny doesn't even, he's so focused
on the hospice.
He's laser focused on this awards. He doesn't even really care that they leave.
Yep.
So now let's go back to the cafe.
Yes.
Because they have to keep going to the cafe to use the bathroom. And Patrick is having such a hard time watching Roland. And
Ronnie expects that Ronnie should be working, and it looks to him like she is just relaxing and enjoying like a casual lunch with Roland.
Yep.
So he's super annoyed about it.
Yeah.
And bothered by the fact that they're doing this. So he decides he's going to confront them and
while David uses the bathroom.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So I like how Roland refers to him as Pat. Because he's like, are you playing hooky or did your store finally close?
To which Ronnie laughs. I thought that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I like how Ronnie says, I don't laugh often. But that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Ronnie's great. Yeah. We haven't seen Ronnie a lot.
No.
It's been a while. So
I enjoy that
nice...
we get a big Ronnie showcase here. Listen, we see the outside of her house again later.
Yeah. And this is when, you know, Patrick's kind of like, you know, I thought you were supposed to be working on taking care of these tiles and everything.
You said it
and here you are.
Done by a certain day.
Right.
You're
right.
Just hanging out, yucking it up with Roland.
Yeah.
And this is where she says, This is how I do business.
Right.
Roland
and like,
is my connection.
He's the connection to his whoever. I forget. What did he say? Cousin?
Yeah, cousin.
I think,
yeah, something
is
like
getting
that.
The tiles for that for her.
Like,
and, you know, this is how I thank people. Right. I'm buying him lunch. Do you want me to cancel the order? Should I just...
Is that how you do business?
Right. So she definitely puts Patrick in his place.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because
he
really comes over
off.
Tough. He comes over shot out of a cannon and very quickly is very much like, well, I just want to see how it was, just checking in.
Yeah.
Because this is when David comes back out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And is like, is everything okay here? I love how Ronnie goes, I don't know. Is everything okay?
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, before they leave, David's like, didn't you need to use the bathroom? Yeah.
And I love how Patrick goes, oh, and he almost like shakes his head and rolls his eyes going, we just came here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sort of how that ends.
Yes.
For now.
Yes.
Because we have to go back and see such an important moment of this show.
Alexis's audition for Cabaret. Yes. And I feel super dumb. This is the second time in my notes I wrote ALBA. I'm like, what the heck was I writing? What does that even mean? A little bit Alexis.
Well, you do.
As soon as I looked, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why could I not remember what that meant? I just abbreviated quickly as I was.
You abbreviate character names and stuff
I do.
Like that.
I just do J, A, S. Like, I constantly do. Well, I'm writing. You always type. You do everything on computer as you take notes, whereas I handwrite everything. So, yeah, I do shorten stuff constantly. But, yeah, I wrote that, and I'm like, what the heck does that mean? I don't remember. I don't know what I was trying to say there. And then, of course, right now it just hit me. I'm like, oh, geez, how could I not have known that?
But that was the name of her reality
limited
show.
Reality series, yes.
I like how she says, my critically reviewed series.
Yes, so she sets up the music for the theme song, right?
Yes.
I remember watching this the first time we saw this episode, and I do not even know how the three of them got through this scene.
Oh, right.
I want to know how many takes it took. Like,
yeah.
I have no idea how they got through this scene without just completely, like, busting into laughter. And, I mean, Annie Murphy is amazing when she sings this and
just,
does her, like, the whole dance to it and everything. It
even
is
just her running up to start the music.
Yes.
And she seems disheveled.
Yes.
She has to walk into sort of the entryway.
Yes.
Just so she can walk out to then perform.
Yeah, and you can see she's almost like counting out like the beat in her head as she's doing it.
Just the sloppy choreography of it too is so much fun.
It's
just how she has so much trouble getting onto the ground and then back up again.
Like, yeah, no. She is.
It's really wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah. No,
yes.
I can't imagine. The only thing I would say is for something like this, I could imagine there were a lot of rehearsals because of the choreography.
Yeah.
The amount of time in this show, it's just characters standing still, delivering lines of dialogue. That's funny enough.
Yeah.
But for this, I'm sure it was a lot of rehearsal.
Oh, I'm sure. But I still just feel like, how could you even watch her do that and not, you know? And I mean, it goes back and forth, obviously.
And her
husband
wrote this song. Because he's a musician or something. I know I looked into him.
And then, of course,
really
I'm sure everybody that's listening, you know, knows that
they made it
into the full version of the song.
Of
and you can download it. And I know tons of people,
I'll put it
did that
at the end of the episode.
Yeah. It's, it's so much fun. I think I do have it. I think I have the whole version.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this is just,
it's
amazing.
It's like the most wonderful train wreck. And just to watch Jocelyn's.
Watch their faces, especially Jocelyn's, as she's watching. Because Moira knows exactly what is happening and what this is going to be.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Jocelyn is still holding out these high hopes that Alexis is going to be amazing.
Well, it starts out so hopeful, and very quickly she realizes that this was a huge mistake. And I love how she's totally on the hook for this. Because Moira, I like how under the table
she's nudging her with her foot. Yeah, like kicking her with her foot.
To stop the music. And Alexis is ready for them to basically say, you got the part.
Right.
Where do you sign or whatever.
Yeah, because they saw, I mean, she cuts her off. And then, Alexis is like, oh, there's more verses. I can really showcase my range. And then she just assumes she booked this.
Yeah.
And then Jocelyn kind of has to break it to her, like, oh, we have to see all the candidates.
Right,
and,
but even, like, Alexis to that is like, winky, winky, I know what you're saying.
Right.
Thank you, I'll take my tiny boombox or whatever and leave. Yeah.
It wasn't even, it was, like, on her phone.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was on her phone. Like,
no,
she set
sense.
Her phone down
right.
and played it from her phone. Because originally, that's what I was thinking, too.
I thought it was,
she
like
takes
a
her,
handheld.
That's her purse.
Oh, that's
That's her purse, I think, when she leaves. Yeah, because I even noticed that, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, it is. I think she plays it on her phone, and then that's her purse that she's grabbing as she leaves. But it does almost look like she has a little tiny boombox.
Yeah.
But yeah, and she, you know, as she heads out or everything, like they were talking about it, and Jocelyn's like, oh my gosh, I thought the apple couldn't have fallen far from the tree. Like, she's your daughter. And I love when Moira's like, it's a different orchard. you know, because she's like, well, there's got to be a place for her on stage. Yeah. You know, like,
I do
trying
like how
to
Moira
decide.
Says, I do respect the confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. It well, but we know, like, that's Alexis. Like, she does have that confidence. And
Moira has waited until all of this has happened to now tell Jocelyn that Barbara Streisand's vocal coach quit the business.
And now lives in a monastery.
Two lessons. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they really don't know what to do.
Right.
After all of this.
Right.
But that's okay, because now let's go back to the hospice.
Yes, back to Elm Glen Convention Hall.
Yes, and they're about to announce the award for, I don't, what is their award? Do we even know?
I forget what it's, he mentions it when he says it's up fifth. Okay. But I don't know that I actually like wrote
Let's
down
say
what
best
it was.
Small motel.
Yeah, or something. I think it's
area.
Under so many units.
Oh, okay.
Under 20 units or something, I think was the mention.
Right.
Yeah, but Stevie and Amir return from the quote-unquote bar.
Yeah. Amir's shirt isn't even buttoned.
Well, yeah, clearly. Like he tries, because Johnny's like, oh, that took a long time to get drinks, and you don't even have drinks.
Yes.
You know, to which then they were trying to kind of, like, straighten everything up and, you know, and neaten up a little bit.
And Johnny's still so excited. Like, they're talking, and he's just eyes on the stage. He cannot wait for this.
Yeah. And, you know, so Stevie and Amir are still kind of doing, like, their little flirty banter back and forth and still kind of playing this whole thing off. And Johnny's like interrupting them, you know, as they're trying to talk. But then, you know, she kind of makes mention about, I guess this is the first time she's mentioning that she's planning to join him and she took Monday off and she's going to travel along with him. Mm-hmm. To which he then,
which I will say, I am not here to defend Amir cause he's a terrible person and everything. She just packed a bag, assuming it would be totally cool to follow him for days. Like, you would figure you might text him this before you get all your hopes up and pack a bag.
Well, but,
Listen, again, I'm not defending him at all, but it just seems odd that she wouldn't have brought this up beforehand and just been like, surprise, where are we headed now?
Right. Well, I guess she just assumed that, you know, And I mean, he says, you know, like, oh, I thought this was just something really great that kind of just happened when it happened.
It's really weird. Like they have...
And I really was trying to, like, watch him this time and really sort of, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't
even...
Watch
him put his wedding ring in his pocket?
I don't know. Like, I was really trying to watch him and be like, is he not like, is he letting her down gently? Like, is he not like, like, or is it really just truly her interpretation of this is completely different than his interpretation of this? But I basically think,
That's...
any guy that's just like, yeah, you're like a great hookup when it happens is like a jerk. Like, that's rotten and he's a horrible person.
Definitely. But I
but
do think
I think they're just in two totally different places. And I don't,
I think that's where I, you know, I think that's where I come down now, because I remember really disliking Amir, and I'm not saying I like him at all, but I really do, like, you can really tell when they're having this conversation that they are on
because all of a sudden he's like, wait, are we still joking about things and still just kind of having this like, you know, like,
which
kind
it's not good at all to Stevie or anything
it's heartbreaking.
It's
he
really
basically like kicks her to the curb.
Because I'm like, I know I joked about him being married, so who knows if that's the case, but it almost...
I feel that, like, if he's a famous, quote-unquote, motel... I mean, I guess he's just famous in, like, the motel industry. But I was like, wouldn't you know a little bit of background about him?
Right, which made me also then...
So I don't know that he's... I don't know,
but it seems like he's got to girl in every port or something like that. You know,
no,
like,
I could
I'm
see
going
that.
To this town to see this girl.
And now
blah,
I'm
blah,
like
blah.
Hooking up with this person when I'm traveling to this location. Yeah, I could totally
has
see that.
To be what's going on.
No, definitely. Yeah, I don't know that he's married, but yeah, absolutely. I think he is up for a good fling, whoever he can like find to kind of hook up with.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on, and I guess he's never run into this problem before.
Yeah. Well, but then like think about, and not that we've seen a whole lot of, but like she doesn't have relationship luck. Like there's Jake.
Oh yeah,
who,
yeah right.
You know,
right,
like look at that situation. Like she's just kind of like again like. Great when you're around, whatever. Like, I'm up for anything, you know, on his part.
Yes.
And then, of course, like, trying to make that missed connection with David that obviously, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, really, what else do we see? Like, she just doesn't have luck with relationships. She doesn't find the right person. Like,
no, she's not finding the right person. I do think that the motel probably really got in her way for a very long time.
Absolutely. She was chained to that desk. Everything. Yeah. Right. Like she couldn't really. And like, not to say look at the town, but like she always said, it's a small town. I know everybody. Yeah. I went to high school with all these people. Yep. Like, you know, so I mean, I'm sure she's dating people maybe, but like how many people are there left to date? Like this was somebody new coming into town.
No, exactly.
She didn't have any prior connection with them.
Yeah.
And they seem to really hit it off right from the start.
Sure.
Because that's his like wine and dine kind of personality for Amir.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's heartbreaking.
Oh,
like
no,
he is basically like I said, kicking her to the curb. And as he's doing that, they announced that the motel has won in its category.
That's right.
You know, so literally she's in the middle of this conversation in a huge room, like in front of everyone, after they literally had just like had a quickie upstairs. Like,
right, exactly.
It's that which makes it even worse because literally it's like,
exactly.
You were, this was great. And now I'm going to move on and, you know, good luck to you.
100%.
So, yeah, it was.
Yes. But they do, as you said, while all this is happening, they do win.
They do.
And they go
up. Yeah.
I like, she's very upset by this.
Yeah. Which Johnny just assumes she's emotional about the win.
He says to someone as they walk up for the award, look at her. She's shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they go up to get their award.
Yeah. And then we before we really get any more information about that, we jump back to the motel where Jocelyn is trying to slyly.
Jocelyn's very strange.
Drop
here.
Off a little.
Yeah. And I like how at every turn Jocelyn's like, oh, I guess I misinterpreted what chocolates mean.
Yeah. So
it is just funny how her let down to people. Is a box of chocolates.
Right, yeah, and a note.
But yeah, so she tries to leave a note and chocolates.
At the door.
Right, for
to
Alexis.
To which Alexis, of course, sees her.
Yes.
And immediately, like, calls her in, calls her back, and is assuming, like, these chocolates are congratulatory chocolates that she's gotten the part. Yes. But yeah, so Jocelyn is sort of trying to break the news to her. And of course, Moira comes in and complicates the situation.
Moira's great in this scene because the way it starts is she goes up and stands next to Alexis and acts very motherly to protect her and to say, yes, I understand this is horrible, but I couldn't be involved as your mother. Like, it's really fun. And then how later she switches sides.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. When she kind of sees how Alexis reacts and everything, then she's. But yeah, so Jocelyn kind of says, you know, after careful consideration, we really think you're overqualified, to which Alexis is like, that's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm good with it. You know, we value you as our in-house publisher.
That's the thing that they keep
what is it? Publicist?
To,
I must say publisher.
Because Moira first tried to do that in the first scene.
Yes.
Saying, you have enough on your plate with this publicist thing.
Yeah.
And now Jocelyn says it too.
Yeah, and I like how they Jocelyn makes mention of giving the role to someone who really needs it.
Right, yes. To which Alexis says, who did you choose?
Right.
And they say, no
one. We're still
one.
Looking. And she's like, wait, so you picked no one over me? But then Jocelyn explains that there's a better role for her, Kit Kat Club Girl number 6.
You might have to let the dog out.
Oh, he woke up.
Yeah, he woke up. He seems distressed.
He's done being bored by us. you know, so she wants to be Kit Kat Club Girl number 6. The part is hers. To which Alexis seems okay with.
She seems.
Because she gets to wear, like, a revealing outfit and lots of FaceTime.
Lots of FaceTime.
So
yes.
She's all for that.
Which
it's a good concession.
This is fun because it is played for laughs and it's a funny scene. Mm-hmm. I don't like how it makes Alexis seem very stupid. How she doesn't seem to realize this is
an huge
insane
step down.
Demotion.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's okay because she is very excited about this.
Yes.
And they still have an issue, though, in that
they don't have a lead. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now let's go back because post award show, you know, you get your award and you walk off stage. So you leave through that.
So
door
they have
by
already
the
given
stage.
Their acceptance speech, or Johnny has, not they. So they head off stage and he's talking to Stevie and he's like, this is so amazing. No one can take this away from us. We've worked really hard over the past couple years. I love when he says no one can take this away from us. And of course, the presenter comes and takes it away from them for the next award. And this is when he shares with them like, oh, we'll be mailing yours in 6 to 8 weeks along with the bill.
Right. Now, I was going to bring him up earlier when he does say that they're the winner because you hear him.
Yes.
For a while, talking, but he is credited as awards host.
Okay,
doesn't have a proper name. His name is Paul Beer, and his first IMDb credit was in 2010. And he is a regular in
all of
the
our
shows.
Favorite shows.
He was in Nikita, Warehouse 13, Dark Matter, Kim's Convenience, Handmaid's Tale, Suits, Murdoch Mysteries.
Handmaid's Tale.
He was in Murdoch Mysteries, where he was in two separate episodes. One he is credited as Bellhop, and another one, Bellboy.
Oh, okay.
And he's been in Working Moms.
Okay.
So he's all over the place in all the stuff. His delivery of We Have to Take That Back is really great.
It is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're charging them for the award.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah. So Johnny, Stevie is still very, very visibly upset.
Of course.
But Johnny's still not quite in tune to it. Like he says, oh, I thought we could go to a celebratory dinner. And
yeah, unless that's going to get in the way of your plans.
And she said, no, he said, did your plans get pushed? And she said, no, they got canceled. It was just a stupid idea.
Yes, exactly.
To which he then realizes, you know, what has happened.
Right.
And this is when I thought just so much at the end of this episode. Looking at these two, looking at Moira and looking at Johnny, and we'll talk about Moira in just a moment.
Sure.
But just looking at how parental they are and just like it's so, you know, because you have to think before this, they literally probably didn't see their children, didn't pay attention and didn't parent their children.
No, the most important thing in this episode is Moira is a lot nicer to Stevie than her own daughter.
Yeah. But Johnny suddenly realizes and is very, which I feel like sometimes Johnny does have, you know, like they talk about him being like not a great gift giver and he doesn't always perceive situations.
Yes, right.
It like he's not perceptive all the time of situations like giving Stevie the makeup case and like he sometimes just doesn't get it. And it's so nice to see how he gets that. Like, he's oh, I realize what happened.
Yeah,
and
basically a celebratory dinner is a bad idea.
Right,
because he really does say, how about we just beat the traffic and just head out of here.
Just head out of here. I'm really tired,
you
know, and he's like, and he talks about, you know, them not even getting their award because he makes mention, like, what kind of cheap-ass award show, like, gives you an award and you don't, he uses that term again.
Because, and she even says, like, I don't think I can go back in there. And he's like,
I'll grab your bag and some shrimp for the road.
Shrimp for the road.
Yeah.
To which he does get a smile out of her for that.
But so sweet how fatherly he really
much.
Has. Like, he's taken her under his wing with the whole motel situation. And we've seen that fatherly moment when he first decides to, like, take on running the motel with her and everything. But
another reason why I think we're not supposed to think that Amir is all that horrible or devious. Mm-hmm. In my mind, for whatever reason, I thought Johnny told him off at the end of this episode.
Oh.
I don't know why I had that in my head.
Oh.
The fact that that's not it, and I love the fact that they just kind of like cut Amir unceremoniously out of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I thought that was going to happen.
Oh.
But I think I'm mixing it up with something that happens with later. Roland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next
maybe.
Season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he just goes in and does everything.
Yeah, and takes care of everything. Yes. We don't, mm-hmm. Get any more. Yeah. But yeah, I know there is, it seems like in the Schitt's Creek community, not the community on the show, but the fan community, no one has any love for Amir.
No one.
Like, there is never a time that you see anybody really defending him, which is why I even feel like our conversation kind of being like, he's still a jerk, but like, he honestly is just like, what's wrong with us? Like, this is cool, which is what, makes him a jerk. But there's no defending him. Mm-hmm. But
I would like.
But back to our other person who's not so great with words, maybe.
Yep.
So back to Patrick and David.
Outside of
trying
Ronnie's
to
house.
Make some amends with Ronnie, they bring her a gift basket from the apothecary with everything but the blue cheese.
It's
I guess
so much. I just
it.
I just love how this is basically David making Patrick apologize. Yes.
By bringing a gift. Although, they bring this gift basket and everything, and it's like, we're so grateful for everything you're doing, and thank you, and everything. And, that's when she asks, like, oh, is the blue cheese in here and everything? And David's like, that blue cheese is really expensive. And Patrick's like, no, like, we'll get you the, everything that you need. And she shares that she was just heading out to come over with their tile. She had gotten what they needed. So then David's like, so does that mean we can take the basket back? So like, really, he's kind of convincing him, I guess.
That was kind of a dumb line.
But I guess.
Because I think it would have been, honestly, you didn't need that.
Yeah.
That did make David seem like kind of a jerk. Like, what a weird thing to say.
Right.
Because the way it ends with them asking if they could just drive over with her and her saying no.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Uh-huh.
But also then when David's like, so maybe just me? Maybe I could just go? And she gets in her truck and drives away to finish the job.
Right, yes.
So now we go to Stevie's apartment.
Stevie's apartment, which we've seen just a little bit.
Yeah, she's
not
unpacking
a whole lot in
her
the
bag.
Past. Yeah, she's unpacking her bag. She's clearly still emotional.
Yes.
And everything. And there's a knock on her door,
mm-hmm.
which I love when she, like, looks and sees who it is. She kind of groans.
Well, the fact that closed caption says groans on there is really fun.
Yeah. So she kind of groans and realizes that it's Moira.
Yes.
So Moira is there. She came to celebrate the award.
I think it's important to say that this is where Moira says, well, hello you,
well,
which
hello
I think is
you.
Great because they use that in so many promos for the show.
Yeah. No, like that's true. That's definitely a good thing to acknowledge because, it is super cute.
But so she has brought wine.
She's brought wine.
Just the idea of what Stevie must be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly, Johnny went and told Moira about this.
Right.
And now this insane woman with a wall of wigs is going to come and console me?
Right. Like, well, but she says about celebrating the award. And then
I know. No, I know.
It's
just
such a... It is the sweetest moment.
It really is.
Yeah.
I just think it's just funny of anyone... How it's not Alexis.
Right.
It's not even...
Well, she has ulterior motives,
too. I don't know why Twyla would be there to console her. No, I know. It's just...
Right.
We don't
see a lot of Stevie
we
Moira.
We don't see it. No.
Yeah.
Most of it is just Moira.
Thought Stevie stole her earrings.
Right, exactly.
In, the beginning of the season.
Or Moira trying to ask Stevie how the internet works or something. Like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, but she comes...
and telling her to take naked pictures of herself.
Right. She comes to celebrate, but then also mentions that she was made aware of a loss. To which Stevie, says, like, and then she's like, his loss.
Right.
Which
it's
is
very cute.
So
and it's so touching.
Like, such a great,
really
like, confidence booster for her, like, that she's not saying, like, this is your loss, this is his loss. And Stevie makes the comment, like, I guess, all my years as a motel clerk, like, I'm not desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is. It's really sad how, just how... the lack of confidence that Stevie has in herself and that this has really been a blow to her. And it's so sweet because Moira mentions her as being like a chrysalis bursting with potential, of course, and all her Moira-isms.
Yeah.
She also mentions her in like tartan and everything, which I think is like a reference to like her plaid shirts and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Stevie was like, I think I just was looking for like, just something different, like a shock to my routine, like just something to which then Moira gives her a shock to her routine. Yeah, not in the form of a man.
I think she said something that shocked her.
Out of her little podunk routine. Which we know, she makes mention to that at the episode where Jocelyn and Roland have their barbecue, their luau, right? And everything, and they're invited, and we get that little insight into Moira a couple times. We kind of hear that, she was like this small town girl, and John kind of came in.
I think it's interesting both that it's taken this long, which is fine, but also that she sees some of her in Stevie. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really...
Yeah.
That's an interesting sort of twist on all of these characters' relationships.
Yeah. But, she's like, well, I, have this shock to your routine. Mm-hmm. Not in the form of a man. But, of course, she hands her the cabaret script.
Right.
And
even Stevie doesn't even have to ask questions. Like, what is this script? What's happening? I guess it's the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Because she even says, me in front of a bunch of people, this doesn't seem to be my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like how Moira says, I should have led with this, but can you sing?
Yeah, and I love when Stevie's like, I sing in the car. And she was like, good enough.
this is such an abrupt, something that seems very sudden to say the lead of this show is going to this person. But how dumb of me, because I'm like, well, they just saw Darlene and they just listened to Alexis. So, of course, Stevie can't be any worse. But I also like to think that there's been times where Stevie's been singing in the motel office and maybe Moira's been walking by or something.
Yeah. And I like
she
how...
never references, but it makes me think like she wouldn't just... do this because listen, they have jazzy gals. They have a bunch of them.
And they also mentioned about giving the role to someone who really needs it, of course.
Of course, yes.
You have to wonder
sort of telegraphing what's going to be happening.
Yeah. And Moira has just a sixth sense about this, but she really is definitely putting some confidence in something that is gonna be good, but it takes some time to get there, I guess. I do like when she's like, tell me you can sing,
Yes.
And then, of course, as she gets ready to head out, she's like, oh, I see you opened a bottle of wine already. I won't burden you with another. And then she takes it back, which is kind of the reference to David wanting to take the gift basket
back. Yes.
Except Moira actually doesn't. David just mentions it. Yes. Moira literally picks up the bottle and puts it in her arm and is ready to walk out. Yeah.
It is. I do like how when she does come in, though, Stevie does get another glass out, which is kind of a shame because Moira just, I don't want to say it's a shame because it's a nice ending with just Stevie alone flipping through the script and then she smiles.
And she smiles.
Which is nice, but it's also like, they could have spent some time together.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's how the episode ends. Oh, boy. We got cabaret in the future.
Yeah.
I guess there's a new bathroom. Lots of stuff. Yeah. An award is going to show up
in six to eight weeks.
So much is happening.
Yes.
Wow. This is so great.
At the end of every episode.
Right. Yeah. Get your wording.
We rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best of the best to the least best of the best. So, Carla, if this episode were a little bit Alexis... would it be a little bit tipsy or a little bit single? I don't know which one is better.
Would you be a Lamborghini or...
or a Hollywood star, which both seem
fine.
They
both seem good,
I will share... Oh, boy, I set up the microphone in a different way.
And this is so weird because I kind of feel like the more... I love this episode, but I feel like the more we talked about it, the more my love for it grew, too.
Yes, 100%.
It's worth chatting.
This is not the first time that's happened, because it does sometimes happen.
Yeah.
Like, I can feel episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think every episode gets a little bit better when we talk about it.
Yeah.
Even stuff I really didn't like.
Right.
But sometimes it's a more dramatic shift than others.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this might be one for me, but I already placed it on mine, but I might have to move it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm going to make this my new... Oh, this is hard.
I know.
I'm going to say My new number 12.
12. Okay.
Which is Baby Sprinkle, which was not that long ago. That was my previous number 12.
Sure. I mean, saying not that long ago, I mean, it's last season.
I know, but.
I'm not going to say where I had mine. I am going to move.
Oh, you're moving it. Mm.
I am. This might seem crazy. This is my new number 9.
Wow.
So there is a shakeup to my top 10.
Yeah.
Which I have to not forget to make note of in the episode notes. So this was really good. And mm-hmm. again, I think it was better upon rewatch. And mm-hmm. I think it was better even talking about it. Because, mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things that happen. Like, I don't remember the hospice being all that interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the bathroom thing being as funny as it actually is. This is a good episode. But speaking of good episodes, and this is not a prediction podcast, speaking of shakeups to top tens, I have a feeling when we talk next time, we'll be talking about the 9th episode of season 5, the MVP. And from what I remember, that's a really, really great episode.
Oh, it's an awesome episode.
But again, I don't remember what the B storyline is, mm-hmm. or if there's a C storyline. I just remember baseball.
Right.
Like, that's it. So so we will talk to everybody again in one week when we discuss the MVP.
Let's do it.
Until then, everybody, have a great week.
Warmest regards.
I'm a Lamborghini. I'm a Hollywood star. I'm a little bit tipsy when I drive my car. I'm expensive sushi. I'm a cute, huge yacht. I'm a little bit single. La 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 la, a little bit of Lexus.